All right, for this questioning of Anna and Heidi, we'll be focusing mainly on the section called the Christian Questions with their answers in the front of the catechism. So if you have your catechisms handy, you can look at pages 31 to 35. I'll be taking some little tangents now and again, but that will be the main kind of outline of this questioning. So the Christian Questions sections, or pages 31 to 35. All right, the first question here for Anna is, do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes, I believe that I am a sinner.
Are people in the back able to hear that? Okay. Well, your dad way in the back heard. I couldn't quite tell if... You might want to just lean in a little bit more. Okay. How do you know this, Heidi? Okay, so Heidi mentioned the Ten Commandments, which is an outline of God's holy law. And as Heidi correctly said, we do not keep those commandments. We're sinful. Let's quickly review those commandments. Anna, what's the first commandment?
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What does this mean? You should fear, love, and trust in God above all things.
What's the second commandment, Heidi?
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Third commandment, Anna.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thou shalt sanctify the holy day. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we may not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it.
Fourth commandment, Heidi.
Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we may not What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we may not despise our parents or masters, nor provoke them to anger, but give them honor, serve and obey them, and hold them in love and esteem.
Fifth, Anna.
Thou shalt not kill. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we may not hurt nor harm our neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every bodily need.
Sixth.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we may lead a chaste and decent life in word and deed, in each love and honor his spouse.
Seventh.
Thou shalt not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we may not take our neighbor's money or goods, nor get them by false swear or dealing, but help him to improve and protect his property and business.
Eighth.
Bear false witness against thy neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we may not deceitfully belie, betray, slander, nor defame our neighbor, but defend him, speak well of him, and put the best construction on everything.
Ninth.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we may not craftily seek to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, nor obtain it by a show of right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it.
Tenth. Okay, before we took that tangent on the Ten Commandments, Heidi had made the point that she sinned against the commandments. Would you agree with that? Have you sinned against the Ten Commandments, Anna?
Yes.
Well, what about some of those commandments like the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, and the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal, because I'm guessing you've never murdered anyone or robbed a bank. You've broken those commandments too?
Yes.
How? Sure, you can break those commandments in your heart. Well, and even we Christians do break those commandments in our heart because of our sinful flesh. Yeah. All right, returning to the Christian questions. Heidi, are you also sorry for your sins?
Yes, I am sorry that I have sinned against God.
What have you deserved of God by your sins, Anna?
His wrath and displeasure, temporal death, and eternal damnation.
Do you also hope to be saved, Heidi?
In
whom then do you trust, Anna?
In Jesus
Who is Christ? Heidi.
The Son of God, true God and man.
So Heidi just said Jesus is the Son of God, and she said that he is true God. Well, that makes it sound like there are multiple gods. How many gods are there, Anna?
Only one, but there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are all God. Is that correct? So you got three gods?
No.
Still only one?
Yeah.
Okay. What then has Christ done for you that you trust in him, Heidi?
He died for me and shed his blood for me on the cross for the remission of sins.
Did the Father also die for you, Anna?
He did not, for the Father is God, only the Holy Ghost likewise, but the Son is true God and true man. He died for me and shed his blood for me.
How do you know this, Heidi? So you mentioned the Holy Gospel. What is that? What is the Gospel, Heidi? What?
Law and Gospel.
Oh, okay. Well, Law and Gospel are the two main doctrines of the Bible, yeah. And you summarized, or you gave an outline of the law when you guys recited the Ten Commandments. Can you give, you know, a nice summary of the gospel in a very well-known verse. I think everyone here knows it, John 3:16. Everyone, but maybe Heidi. Let's see. Heidi, you know John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah, that's a nice summary of the gospel. It's sometimes called the gospel in a nutshell. Something else that Heidi mentioned in her answer was the words of the sacrament. How do those words read, Anna? For those of you following along, I'm back on the Christian questions. I'm on question 12. You believe then that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament, Heidi?
Yes, I believe it.
What induces you to believe this, Anna? Our faith in the real presence of Christ's body and blood in the sacrament are based on those words. He says, take, eat, this is my body. Drink, ye all of it, this is my blood. Heidi, what ought we to do when we eat his body and drink his blood and thus receive the pledge?
We ought to remember and proclaim his death and shedding of his blood as before said.
So you want to go back to his words as he taught us. And then quote Jesus again. Let's take a running start at you, might get it. What ought we to do when we eat his body and drink his blood and thus receive the pledge?
We ought to remember and proclaim his death and shedding of his blood as he taught us. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
Mm-hmm. Why ought we to remember and proclaim his death, Anna? This answer starts off that we may learn to believe.
That we may learn to believe that no creature could create satisfaction for our sins but Christ, true God and man, and that we may learn to look with terror at our sins and to regard them as great indeed, and that we may learn to find joy and comfort
Not bad. Messed it up a little bit, but you got the points. That's good. What was it that moved Jesus Christ to die for you and make satisfaction for your sins, Heidi?
His great love to his Father and to me and other sinners, as it is written in John 14, Romans 5, Galatians 2, Ephesians 5.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys being confirmed today will be received into communicant membership, which means that you'll be able to receive the Lord's Supper with the rest of your brethren here at St. John's. Are you looking forward to that? Well, this leads into the next question. Anna, why do you wish to go to the sacrament? What should admonish and incite a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently, Heidi?
In respect to God, both the command and the promise of Christ the Lord should move him, and in respect of himself, the trouble that lies heavy on account of which such command, encouragement, and promise are given.
Okay, so at the end of that answer, which also tie into the next question, trouble is mentioned, on account of which God gives us the command and encouragement and promise connected with the Lord's Supper. What is that trouble, Anna?
Sins.
Yeah. And you can include your own personal sins. You can include all the sins around you in the world, all the temptations. And that's going to come up in the next big question and answer. So for all of you following along, we're now on the big number 20. On page 35. Now, this is a really good one. Well, they're all good, but this one lays out reasons for why we should all want to go to the Lord's Supper. And if ever you get to thinking that maybe you don't need the Lord's Supper, this answer will remind you why you certainly do. So, here's the question. I'm actually going to have both of them say it. It's so long, I don't want to just pick on one. I'll pick on both of them. But Heidi, you're first. Question 20. But what shall a person do if he be not sensible of such trouble and feel no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such a person, no better advice can be given than that in the first place. He put his hand into his bosom and feel whether he still has flesh and blood, and that he by all means believe what the scriptures say of it in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Secondly, he look around to see whether he is still in the world and keep in mind that there will be no lack of sin and trouble as the scriptures say in John 15 and 16, 1 John 2 and 5. Thirdly, he will certainly also have the devil about him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without, as the scriptures picture him in John 8 and 16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, 2 Timothy 2.
All right, that's fine. So what you'll notice in that answer, in case you're not familiar with this, Luther reminds you of your three spiritual enemies that you have to deal with in life: the devil, the world, and your flesh. He goes in reverse order, though. He goes flesh, world, and the devil. So, to remind you why you need the Lord's Supper, he says, first put your hand into your bosom. Feel that you still have flesh and blood. Remember what the scriptures say about that. Full of sin and temptation. You want to overcome that sin and temptation? Well, go to the Lord's Supper. And he tells you to look around. Notice that you're still in the world. Well, the world is full of evil, full of sinful temptations. Again, you want to overcome those temptations? Go to the Lord's Supper. And then the third point is, it reminds you about the devil, who you can't see, but the Bible warns you is always going around, seeking to devour you. You want to overcome his temptations? Again, certainly go to the Lord's Supper. So that's why Luther breaks it down that way. Anyway, Anna, same question. What shall a person do if he be not sensible of such trouble and feel no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such a person, no better advice can be given than that in the first place. He put his hand into his bosom and feel whether he still have flesh and blood, and that he by all means believe what the scriptures say that in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Secondly, that he look around to see whether he is still in the world and keep in mind that there will be no lack of sin and trouble, as the scriptures say in John 15 and 16. Thirdly, he will certainly have the devil also about him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without, as the scriptures picture him in John 8 and 16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, 2 Timothy 2.
Okay, very good. They just concluded the Christian questions with their answers. I don't know if any of you do this. I know I've suggested it in the past, but I want to suggest it to everyone again. Also applying this to our two confirmands today. These Christian questions with their answers that you just heard are wonderful to use in preparation for the Lord's Supper. So you know the Bible tells you to examine yourself before coming to the Lord's table? This is a very nice outline to use. It reminds you of your sinfulness. It reminds you of your Savior, both law and gospel. It reminds you of the precious gift that Jesus gives you in the sacrament. It's a good way of focusing your mind and reminding yourself why you need the precious gift of forgiveness connected with the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament of the altar. So I do suggest people use this. Every month before you come to the Lord's Supper, sit down and go through the Christian questions with their answers. It's very good. All right. As far as I'm concerned, you've passed your questioning. So now we'll continue with the order of service, and following the collection will be the confirmation proper. Receive, dear Lord, our thank offering, and bless them for thy mercy's sake. Amen. Annabella Rose Kibble. Heidi Elizabeth Schrader. Do you both this day, in the presence of God and this Christian congregation, confirm the solemn covenant which you at your baptism made with the triune God? Then answer, I do. Do you then renounce the devil and all his evil works and ways? Then answer, I do. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Then answer, I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Then answer, I do. Do you believe in God the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? Then answer, I do. Annabella Rose Kibble and Heidi Elizabeth Schrader, do you desire to be members of the true Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this Christian congregation? Then answer, I do. Do you hold all the books of the Bible to be the verbally inspired Word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church as you have come to learn it from the Catechism drawn from the Bible as the true and correct teaching? Then answer, I do. Do you also, as a member of the true Lutheran Church, intend to continue steadfast in the scriptural confession of this church and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Then answer, I do. Finally, do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the rule of the divine word, to be diligent in the use of the means of grace, to walk as it becometh the gospel of Christ, to submit to the discipline of this Christian congregation, administered according to the established forms and orders, and in faith, word, and deed, remain true to the triune God even unto death? Then answer, I do so intend by the grace of God. Upon this, your confession. I, in the name of Christ our Savior, invite and welcome you both as members of the true Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation to participate with us in all the rights and privileges of the true Evangelical Lutheran Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Annabella Rose Kibble and Heidi Elizabeth Schrader, the Lord graciously and bountifully bestow his blessings upon you, preserve you in the knowledge that you have attained, and cause you to grow in knowledge, wisdom, faith, and godliness through his most precious means of grace. Depart in peace.